Good evening, and a blessing to each one of you. I think we're all interested in what God has for each one of us this evening. Let's pause for a word of prayer. Father, this evening we thank you and we praise you because you are our God. And we thank you that you understand us, and you understand each one of our needs, and the cry of each heart. And I just ask again that you would meet each of our needs today with your word. Continue to speak to us. Continue to direct us into all truth. Thank you, Father. Thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'd like to first of all turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1. First Samuel chapter 1, verse 27. And this was Hannah speaking. It said, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." I'm thinking, is that what we have for our children? Have we lent our children to the Lord? Are we directing our children into kingdom service? And how can we do that? How can we lead our children into kingdom service? We're going to have to lead them, right? I've said sometimes when my family's going on ahead of me or I'm behind, I'm usually behind schedule and behind time and everything like that. And I've said jokingly sometimes, I must find my sheep because I'm their shepherd and I'm supposed to lead them. Hopefully that is not happening in the way we lead our children into kingdom service. And I think if we're going to lead our children to kingdom service, we are, first of all, going to have to be willing to be involved in kingdom service. We're going to have the kingdom of heaven burning in our own hearts. And that's our focus. And we need to prepare our children for service. We need to prepare them. There's preparation. They don't just by default become followers of God. And they don't just by default serve in the kingdom of heaven. It's not how it happens. And I think you know these things. I'm not telling you all anything new. And this evening, I don't even pretend to have a formula or... I think I look at some of these brethren and sisters here who have some age and have actually encouraged and raised their children for God. And they are now on in kingdom service. You know, I'm still young. I still haven't launched mine yet. I still haven't, none of my children have left home yet. And yet these are some of the things that I try to practice for myself. And so I do want to share three things, though, that I think are very important. So there's three things that I want to talk about. Now, as I think of these three things, and if you would think of three things that are the most important, what would you think they are? And maybe your list would be different than mine is. But I think the second most important thing that we should have, second most important thing that for our to prepare our children for service. And I think that is, as brethren, loving our wives. Put that into the second most important thing. And that doesn't just happen to be my idea. God says that we should love our wives. The Bible is very clear on that. And let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Start reading there in verse 25. It says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Thank you. "That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Over and over it tells us as men to love our wives. And Colossians 3:19, we should just maybe turn there real quick. Colossians 3:19 says, "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." Again, love your wives. Love your wives. Why? Why are we supposed to love our wives? It tells us that we're supposed to love our wives in the way Christ loved the church. There's something important there. And this, to me, it's been interesting to note that the Bible does not give a direct commandment to the sisters to love their husbands. And yet it's very specific. Over and over, it tells us as men, love your wives. Love your wives. And God made us relational beings. We long for and need relationship with others and with God. Service and kingdom they only become practical in the context of relationship. First of all, our relationship with God, and then relationship with others around us. And we'll never be able to divorce kingdom service from relationships. It can't be done. And this evening, I am going to be especially focusing on fathers. But if I would be thinking about you, sisters, as mothers and wives, I would say that the second most important thing that you can do for your children is to honor, respect, and reverence your husband, and be creative in the way you respond to your husband's love. That would be what I would encourage as the second most important thing for you all. And if you notice, Titus 2:4 is the only place that I find in the New Testament where it actually talks about the sisters loving their husbands. And it says sort of in passing where the older sisters should teach the younger ones to love their children and their husbands. But over and over in the New Testament, it says, wives submit, wives honor. That's what it says. But I wonder how many, in a congregation this size, how many of us here as husbands aren't quite on speaking terms with our wives? And how many of our wives would desire a better or a different relationship with us? And maybe we just brush it off as, well, it's just her talking. It's just women. Can't understand them anyway. And it's just... But is that how it should be? Is that how it should be? It says, love your wives. Love them. And we're talking about preparing our children for service. It's an amazing and sad commentary on how many people between Lebanon and Lancaster County and other places as well, from homes that should have it all together and should have good, solid teaching and good, solid homes. There's children that are coming out of these homes and are crying and are hurting. And they can't do kingdom work. Why? Because mom and dad couldn't get along. And they struggle on and on and on. And we've had to counsel some of these folks. And probably a lot of you have as well. Why? Why is that? There's someone not preparing their children. And it starts with the relationship between us and our wives. So instead of having families that can reach out and touch others and help others, and the hurting needs out there in the world, we have a whole bunch of people in our own congregations that need help. Because we're not doing what we should be doing. And we aren't loving our wives as we should. And our relationships aren't good on that level. So how are we going to teach them to have good relationships? And I know we all fail. And I'm not here to make anyone go on a guilt trip. But I think it's very important that we fall, if we have, and even if we don't have a bad marriage as such, I think it's very important that we fall on our knees and cry out to God and ask Him for relationships that are lasting, relationships that mirror what Christ's love is for the church. That's what it should be. But how many of us are willing to be crucified for our wives? Are we? Or are we self-serving? Ephesians 5 just doesn't give us much room to do anything other than be crucified for our wives in that way. So what's the most important thing? What is the most important thing we can do for our children? Well, I think that's very apparent in Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verse 28. One of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." This is the first commandment. It's the most important one. And he goes on to say that loving those around us is the second one. And all the law, all the whole Bible rests on these two. If we have those things together, the rest will fall into place. If we love God above all things. But so many times, you know, we love God and we love things, and we love God and we love that, and we love God and we love the other thing. And sometimes our life looks a little bit like the label on some product labels in the ingredients. Have you ever noticed that some of sometimes you see stuff like beef and or. So what are they telling you with a label like that? They're telling you that it could be beef, but it probably isn't even. See, that is the way that sometimes. So our label says God, and then and or. But that's not how it should be. That's not how our lives should be. It says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength." That's how God wants us to follow Him. Not just halfway. Which brings me to the third thing I have on my list here, and that is loving our children. Loving them. Colossians 3:21 says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." Fathers, provoke not your children to anger. Do we have a close, loving, open relationship with our children? Do we know their focus and their heartbeat? What their interests are? Where they're going? If they have a question or they're struggling, who do they go to for answers? Or can't they come to us? Do they go elsewhere? Or do they just not ask? Just because some of these things you just don't talk about. You just don't ask. And especially not my parents. And that, sad to say, is where, for a lot of people, that's where it is. Just the other day, somebody called me, and he started sharing some of the things he's struggling with. He shared how it's really hard for him to open up to his wife. And his wife would want a better and a different relationship with him. And he just can't quite get there. He knows he should, but there's something there. He can't just open his heart and talk. And he's struggling with pornography. He's struggling with various things. And he's just like, what can I do? How do I do this? And it didn't take us long in the conversation. He started talking about the broken relationship between him and his father. Do you think his father ever sat down and talked with him specifically about these things? You know, in English we have this saying of getting down and talking brass tacks. Do you think his father ever did that to him? I don't think so. I really doubt it. Do we? Do we talk to our children like that? Can we? You know, have we ever taken our children and talked to them about the horrors and the hurts of our immorality and of pornography and all of those things? Or have we even, in obviously age-appropriate terms, talked to them about the beauty of a pure and a good relationship, a marriage relationship? Have we talked about that? Do we model that? I think it's very important for us to think about that. I think it's time that we as fathers, if we're trying to, as we look out into the world and see the hurts and see the many things that are out there, how are we going to speak into those needs? And how can we equip our children to speak into those real hurts and real things those people are facing if we cannot even speak those things to our children? And if we cannot in a pure and in a right way talk to them and just be open and honest about these things. Because it's out there. And if we are going to help our children to minister in that way, we're going to have to equip them with ways to handle this. How are they going to talk to someone if they start talking to them about their addictions and their hurts? If we have taught them that you don't talk about those things. Yeah, I think it's time we quit fancy footing around those issues. We need to talk about them. And because we live in a real world. We live in a world that has lots and lots of hurts. And these things just continue to get worse and worse. And just by burying our heads in the sand is not going to make the problem go away. And we'll never be able to equip our children to deal specifically even with their own needs if we don't specifically talk to them about these things. And this is a little bit how it happens sometimes with us and in our congregations. About a month before I got married, someone pulled me aside. Brother had a real concern for me. Had just found out a little bit about my wife's background, and so was very concerned that I understand some things about my wife. And so he comes to me and he wasn't quite sure how to talk about this, but he said, "Well, do you know that, that Joanna in her past, that she in her past had suffered some disappointments?" You know, yeah, I knew that. Obviously, she was very outright with her past, and it had been something we had discussed. But this was a man-to-man talk, and yet he couldn't quite come out. And so many times. Okay, so if I would have been a hurting person and I would have come to that same brother and I would have said, "Brother," you know, I would have finally, because usually hurting people, they bottle it up until it just finally explodes, until this, they can't stand anymore. So this looks like someone who should know how to answer my question and how to help me through this. So then they go to a person like that. What's going to happen? Probably. It's going to have some very general recommendations and just not going to be able to really talk about what is going on in that person's life. Because they can't talk about these things. And I found for myself that a lot of times when we are in a situation like that, the reality is that we can't talk about those things because it taps into our own pain, into our own things. Many times, I'm not saying it always is that way, but many times that is part of the reason. So how are we going to help our children speak to the needs of the world? It's going to have to start with us speaking specifically about these things. And that includes all areas of life. Being very open, including the areas where I'm weak in. Being open with my children, say, you know what? This is one of my problems. Now, this is not an excuse. But this is something I struggle with. And be open with it. You know, being open with your own struggles with your children and with your wife, they know it already, don't they? You're not pulling the wool over their eyes. If you're angry, they know it. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And I guess that rests on us. What are we going to do? Are we going to stand up and be the men and the women of God and teach and train our children to take this on? And our call still is Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. Go into all the world, preach, teach, disciple, baptize, bring them into the kingdom. We can't do it all ourselves. But hopefully our children can do a little bit more than what we did. And again, why? Why should we be doing this? Why should we be reaching out to all the world? God did. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why he's calling us, and that's why we need to be involved in it. So may the Lord bless you all as you teach, as you train your children to go out into all the world, to continue this message and this mission of bringing the whole world into relationship with our Heavenly Father. And may He help us to teach our children by example. The Lord bless you.